I like singing that song. Hope that y'all were able to put up with it and enjoy it this evening. Today, we're going to begin to look at these two nations, these two types of people. But before we do that, we have to go to when Nicodemus, a man who was steeped in all of the tradition, learning, and understanding of Israel, came to Jesus by night. Because this is all about the truth of the two types of people that there are in this world. It's not male and female. And I don't believe that there's a whole lot of choices in between. Your DNA either says that you are a male or a female. Now then, we all can look different, but there's not a whole lot of choices in between. I know people that have very deep problems with that. I know people that have very deep problems with other twists of who they are. If all of us were honest, we've all been twisted in some way by what has happened to us in this life. So, but it's not a man and a woman. It has to do with the only two types of people that there are in this world. So if you'll go with me to John, the third chapter, we're going to do that before we get to Genesis and look at this woman who was pregnant. And she said, nobody has ever had to deal with what I'm dealing with. And I know that you all can say, well, it was only what generally happens with a woman. Every woman is different. Do not measure yourself by any other woman. You are God's masterpiece. You were not meant to all look alike, act alike, sound alike. You were meant to be that masterpiece. And for some of us, we're not going to appear to be a masterpiece until we stand in His presence. Others, people can see the things that He's doing while He's chiseling away at us. I'll give you some people that you want to watch every once in a while on YouTube. They're called the Skit Guys. Have you all ever heard of the Skit Guys before? Anybody? They're very good. And in there they have one which is called the Chisel. And in this we have a man who has got sin problems. And God shows up and he's got a hammer and he's got a chisel. And God says, you need some work. And the man says, of course, I'm aware I need some work. And God says, that's what I'm here for. Are you ready to get to working? And the man says, well, that looks a little bit painful. And he said, well, I know about pain. My son hung on the cross for you so that I could do a marvelous work in who you are. He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. Has it begun yet? That's the bottom line. Because as we look at these two types of people, we'll be wondering about them. Why was it happening to one and it wasn't happening to the other? Well, we don't know. We hope that it happened to both. We'll even be going back before this woman became pregnant. Or I believe it was afterwards. We'll be going back to after she became pregnant whenever there was a man who came along whose name was Jacob. And he had sons. And one of them, it tells us that one son he loved. Well, don't you think it's wrong if God only loves one or allows us to love one? There's something wrong with us if we only love one of our children. And the rabbis will tell us it wasn't because there was something wrong with Jacob. Jacob saw something unusual about Joseph. And because he saw this amazing thing happening, he was able to love him in a way that he could not love the other children. I don't think that Joseph was saying, well, I'm just going to give up on the rest of them and disinherit them. Y'all just go away. No, he was fervently praying that they would all become like Joseph. But he was able to love Joseph from what he saw in him. So we're going to be in the third chapter of John. And we see here comes Pharisee named Nicodemus. Verse 1, there came a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He was of the Pharisees, this was the most powerful group. And later in John and in other portions of the Bible, we understand he was a powerful man in a powerful group. Lots of political power in this group. And he comes to Jesus by night. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, our teacher, we know that you are a teacher that comes from God, for no man can do these miracles that you do. I want you to know something. The scriptures tell us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you're hearing about a miracle here. Today, we don't often hear about miracles. I believe there are enough lying voices in this world that they hide miracles, if at all possible. But it's incumbent upon us to believe that Jesus is still the same. That's what the scriptures say. So he comes to him by night. He says, no man can do these miracles that you do except that God be with him. Well, it was more than God was with him. I want you to know something. God wants to be with you. But Jesus wasn't just, God wasn't just with him. He was man and God at the same time. That's why he could handle sin. Nobody has ever been able to handle sin. Jesus could handle sin. He never met a sin that he was particularly fond of. Oh, looky there. There's the puppy sin. Come on over here and let me pet that little beautiful thing. He wasn't particularly fond of sin, but Jesus can handle any sin that there is. And he doesn't draw off and say, I don't know if y'all remember Mary Hartman. Mary Hartman? How many of y'all remember Mary Hartman? Now I'm going to ask how many of you don't remember Mary Hartman, Mary Hartman. I'm going to be honest. Do you not remember Mary Hartman? Don't be ashamed. Well, Mary Hartman was a television show. And in it, Mary Hartman was having a very deep problem. And she needed to talk to someone, so she went to the psychiatrist. Y'all remember this episode? You've heard it enough times, so I've talked about it. And she goes to the psychiatrist and she says, I need to talk to somebody about my problem, but I just don't know whether you can or not. And the psychiatrist, being a man who tried to help people, said, Mary, you can tell me. I don't know. It's just so horrible. You don't know what it's happening. But Mary, you can tell me. I've been trained. I've took years of training to be able to help people like you. Jesus didn't need training. He knows how to help people like us. Well, the episode is a little bit shorter than I'm going to make it. But eventually she's just all worked up, and he's finally telling her, you must tell me what this is. I can do this for you. Let me do this for you. And she says, well, I don't know if I can say it out loud. And so he says, I can handle anything. Just come here and whisper it in my ear. And she goes over and she goes, and his face is changing. I have never in my life heard anything that horrible. Get out of my office. Jesus will not tell you that, because he knows how to handle sin. Okay? So here the Nicodemus comes to him and says, except God be with them. Well, it was God with us, Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, and gets right to the root of the problem, verily, verily, truly, truly, amen, amen, I say unto you, except a man or a woman, a male man or a female man, be born again or born from above. You all do know that it means to be born from above. He, she cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born again whenever he is old? Obviously, Nicodemus had a problem with his age. Anybody here tonight got a problem with your age? Stop it. God knows exactly how old you are, why you are there, and what he's going to do with it. He's not looking down and saying, well, I've got a problem with your age too. He doesn't. And he knows what he's going to do with every one of us. Obviously, Nicodemus did, because it's how can a man, be born whenever he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be birthed? And Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man or a woman be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. You must be born again. You must be born again. In Corinthians, it tells us that whenever, if any man be in Christ, he has become a new, what? Creature. A new creation. Do you know that you have become a new creation? Have you had that intimate experience with Jesus where you have become a new creation? Because if you've become a new creation, then you're one of the two types of people that was being told to this woman whenever she said, "What is this about my pregnancy? It's not like any other pregnancy I've ever seen. I've helped with all the other young women when they were giving birth. All of the older women too. Nobody has ever experienced this before." Remember, every person here is unique. We're supposed to be unique. God has plans in our uniqueness to use us for His glory. And so, in verse 6, Jesus goes on to say, "And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." If you have not been born again, you're spiritually dead. The Scriptures talk about us being dead in trespasses and sins. But if you have been born again or born from above, the Holy Spirit has enclosed you and made you alive again in spite of trespasses and sins. You must be born again. And so He said this to them, and He said, "Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again." Now, Jesus was not teaching something new. Later on in here, He's going to say to Nicodemus, He says, "Are you a teacher?" In verse 10, "Are you a teacher? Are you a master? Are you an understander of the house of Israel?" Because you could not be in the position that you are except that you understand or have some understanding of the Word. And you do not understand or you do not know these things. You must be changed. Even the Jews realized that you must be changed. And yet Nicodemus was clueless whenever he was talking with Jesus. I'll say, we're going back now, because tonight we're wanting to know about the benefits of being born again. I've got it written down on my phone. I'm not calling Jesus, y'all. If I could call Him, I would call Him all the time. And somehow I'd keep my phone from going dead. He wants for us to know about, because the second birth brings to us benefits that the first birth does not. I'll share with you a little bit of the benefits. I'm going to get through this as quickly as possible. If you've been born once and you do not become born again, you're going to die twice. If you have been born twice, you're only going to die once. Some of y'all are looking at me with, "What?" Well, it's true. If I've only been born, this body will one day have to give up the soul and the spirit. Once it's given up the soul and the spirit, if I've only been born of the first birth, my soul and spirit, which is relieved of this body, and I want you to know, for me, more and more all the time, I'm thinking it's going to be a relief to walk out of this body. In fact, just before I go, I may be shouting hallelujah. I mean to tell you the things that have happened. And I'm not going to be hanging on and saying, "Oh, I need for everything to be changed now." I'm saying, "No, I'm going and I'm going to get changed." So, but if you've been born once, you're going to die. This body will die. And then you will have the second death of going forever away from the living presence of God. You have, if you've only been born once, you will be die. This body will die, which is, it's appointed unto all of us, whether we're male or female, whatever else that they're saying is possible today. It's appointed unto all of us that we're all going to die once. And your soul and your spirit will leave. But if you have not been born again, your soul and your spirit will go away from the presence of the living God and will then be in a state of dying forever. But if you've been born again, this body will die.
and you're living, because sin no longer has made your spirit dead in trespasses and sins, because the womb of the Spirit has made you alive again, and once the Spirit has made you alive again, nothing can take that away from you. Now, your awareness and enjoyment of it can be taken away from you. And so, if you're born once, you'll die twice. If you're born twice, you'll only die once. Because when your body no longer can hold you, to be absent from the body from those that have been born twice is to be always in the presence of the living God. And we will go into His presence never to know death again. Now then, for some of y'all, you're going to have to scratch your head and think that one through. Because we're looking at two different types of people, two different types of nation that were being born to this woman. So we're wanting to be aware of the benefits of the second birth. We want to be aware of the value of the second birth, and we want to be aware of the faith that the faith that springs from the second birth. Now, I don't have time to get into all those things, obviously, tonight. So we're now going to look at this woman who has found out that she's carrying twins. Her husband was 40 years old when she married him. We're going to Genesis chapter 25. And in Genesis chapter 25, and it says in verse 19, and these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah, his wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister of Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. Now then, what did Isaac know? He knew that God had made a promise to Isaac's dad. Out of you will come a child. It will be Isaac. Out of him will come the Messiah. So Isaac knew that he was supposed to have children, and yet his wife was barren, and he entreated the Lord. Some of us think, well, that's a wonderful thing. He prayed. It must have been really fervent because she got pregnant. No, it took 20 years of prayer. Any of y'all really excited about having to spend 20 years to receive something glorious from God? You should be, because God is faithful. He makes promises, He gives blessings, and He wants to work plans that cannot be broken. And so he entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived, and the children struggled together within her, and she said, "What is going on with me?" I'm sure that every woman that she was around, she had handmaids and she had friends. She would describe to them, "Have you ever known anybody who's having what's going on inside of them? What's going on inside of me?" And they would say, "Well, tell us about it." And she would tell them, and they would go, "That's strange." Have you ever had anybody tell you that before? Then you probably need to tell God. Because He'll look at you and He'll listen to you and He'll tell you, "I've got a plan for that." In fact, recently there have been several things that have happened this fall that I've talked to God about, and eventually I got to realizing that God had a plan for it. I really didn't need to talk to Him about it. And I was glad that He's got a plan. And she, because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated, and the children struggled within her, and she said, "What is going on with me?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. She didn't go to her husband. She was smart. What man knows anything about having children? I mean, you can go to an OBGYN, I know. Hopefully he's been educated enough to know something. I can tell by looking at your faces, women, some of the experiences that you've had. Great education, don't know very much. Okay, so if you're really wanting to know about what's going on with your body, and it's been 20 years in the coming now, you need to go and talk to God. And you need to have a relationship for whenever you can talk with Him, whether you know that He's hearing you, and it's a good possibility that He might be wanting to tell you something. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb. Two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. Two different types of people, totally different, are going to come out of you. Now then, I want you to know, I believe here that these two types of people represent those type of people who've only been born once and those type of people who have been born twice. And I want you to know that if you're aware of the second birth in the Bible, whenever you have twins or others, that the second birth to God is very important. That's why the second birth to us for God is very important, because He wants us to know there is a value to our lives when we've been born again. There are benefits to our lives and to others, and there is a faith that will spring out of our second birth. So it says here that He told her that there were going to be two types of people. And He said, and one of them shall be stronger than the other. Now then, we realize that whenever He's talking about that Esau is the manly man that comes out first. He loves going out and hunting animals and subduing them. I enjoy hunting. I would enjoy it more if my eyes worked well enough. I mean, even though my eyes weren't good, I did learn to shoot some without putting other people in danger. Of course, I needed to be fairly close. I never wanted to go moose hunting as close as I needed to get. But I needed to be fairly close. And so he was a manly man. The things that he did impressed his daddy so much. Nobody can run as fast as my son Esau. He runs out and he's going hunting, and I turn around and here he comes running back, and he's got the best venison there is. You're going to hear a little bit more about that, but not tonight. And there one of them shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Inside of us tonight, if we've been born again, and I believe I'm speaking to born again people, there are two parts to us. There is the old man who was born first. There is the new man who was born second. And there is a struggle going on inside of us. Sometimes we don't even know why it's happening. We're kind of like Rebecca. What is happening with me? I don't understand. Well, it'd be a good thing to talk to God and let Him make these scriptures alive to you, because you must be born again. And the second birth must become dominant. And so the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Well, they were fraternal twins. They were not maternal twins. They were totally different in every way. They did not look alike. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. How many of y'all know how much 80 is? Somebody just tell me in regular years. How many? 60. 60 years old. How old was Abraham when Isaac was born? 100. So at this point, if Isaac is 80 years old, his daddy is 160 years old, and he is aware of his grandsons coming into the world. Now, if Rebecca is a woman like most women, when God talked to her, because women are much better about telling the good news, men, than we are, when God talks to a woman, she's going to make sure everybody knows. Now, Abraham had already done that. So she made sure everybody knew that God said there are two different types of people within you. They're going to struggle forever. We need to realize that if we've been born again, there are two different types of people in us. The old and the new. And they're going to struggle forever. It's our job to make sure that the new, the one who gets the benefits from God, and the one who gets the value of the second birth, and the one who gets the faith that springs up because of the second birth. And so Jacob took hold of Isaac's foot, and so for the first 15 years of their life, they knew their grandfather, Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. Father Abraham had many sons. I mean, we need to be thankful. Because what was Abraham in those 15 years of his life doing? Oh, he was complaining about his back and about how good things used to be and about how we didn't used to have cold weather like we have right now and we weren't always changing the time. No. He was telling them about what God had told him. And Rebekah not being far away because she knew she had something from God to tell them too, would make sure that they knew what God had told her. Now then, maybe Esau didn't like the fact that he was going to be stronger. I don't know too very many men that dislike the fact that they're stronger. But he for sure didn't like the fact that he was going to serve his younger brother. And when everything began to turn out, he was very angry with God. But we're going to realize at the end that God had blessings, such an abundant number of blessings, that even Esau knew that when God told you what life was going to be like, it was a good thing to be glad. Now, we don't know how the relationship grew between Esau and God. But we know that the relationship grew between God and the one that was born second. I want to let you in on a little secret tonight. The old man, that part of you that has always been there, will never be able to enjoy the relationship that God wants you to enjoy with Him. So tonight, let's ask the question, am I enjoying, in spite of my kidney stones, in spite of my abscessed tooth, in spite of this and that and something else which I could talk about in the last 2 years, about this time last year, y'all know, do y'all remember what I had about this time last year? Tick fever? In spite of all of that, I'm enjoying my relationship with my God. Now the old man, he's a little bit upset with God. You need to be around me sometime and be looking at me and saying, I wonder if that's the old Phil or if that's the new Phil. You won't have a hard time telling the difference. But I'm wanting you to know, as we have the next couple of Sunday nights, we're going to be looking at the value of the second birth. What is the value of the second birth? I'll touch that one a little bit before we get out of here. We're going to sing Amazing Grace. Because one of these two got Amazing Grace almost from the very beginning. The value is that all the promises that were given to Abraham could have been both Esau and Jacob's, because they belonged to their daddy. All the promises that were given to Rebekah could have been both Esau's and Jacob's, because they were given to their mama. Are you following along with me? There's a value to being born again. The promises of God will find a way someday. Did it find me whenever I was 24 years and coming out of the Navy? I found this place. I didn't know exactly what God was going to do, but I have been glad every day since then that y'all were here And you believed in this worthless young man who came back from the Navy. Because God has shown me the value of being born again. I'll guarantee you, before I came here, I didn't believe there was any value in being born again. I did not. And I came back to this place and you all have allowed the Holy Spirit to rest upon you for these many years since 1973. And I have become more than I could have ever hoped to have been. And it's all because of men and women who knew the value of the second birth and helped to walk me into the value of the second birth too. Because all the promises of God are yea and amen in God because of Jesus Christ. That's the first step tonight. Let's all stand. We're going to sing Amazing Grace.